We continue in worship. We have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures. We're continuing in this series, The Unlikely Lent. Today, the scripture comes from Matthew 27, verses 15 through 26. The words can be found on the screen overhead as well. It says, now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah? For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Jesus, for Barabbas, and have Jesus.
Which of the two do you want me to release from you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, then what should I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah? All of them said, let him be crucified. Then he asked, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself. Then the people as a whole answered, his blood be on us and on our children. So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Y'all be a moment of silent prayer.
Those NASCAR races when you have to like cruise in for a change of tires and they're like that's what I felt like right now. It's getting like a change of tires to keep going. All right. Now, for real, let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for worship this morning, that we might be here together in this place and reminded that we're not alone on this journey that you call us to as your disciples, a journey of love and compassion, of peace and unity. So God, meet with us here. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I guess there's a first time for everything. I was looking back, I write out all my sermons, and so I was looking back in my database of past sermons that I've preached. I wanted to make sure I always want to make sure I don't preach the same sermon twice because I know that y'all remember every sermon that I preach, and so I want to make sure that y'all don't catch me recycling sermons. I entered the word this week. I entered the word Barabbas into my database to see if I preached on Barabbas before, and nothing came up. And so then I entered the scripture, Matthew 27, and the only thing that popped up in my search menu was that I read this scripture as part of the Good Friday Passion story. And so that didn't help me at all. And so here we are on this third Sunday of Lent, and you get a sermon fresh off the press. In this scripture, the crowd had been encouraged by the chief priest and demand the release of a prisoner, as he was accustomed to doing during the Passover festival. And so Pontius Pilate, a representative of Roman authority, finds himself in a difficult position as he tries to navigate the demands of the crowd and uphold Roman law. So they gathered. Pilate said to the crowd, whom do you want me to release? Barabbas, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah, the Christ. This scripture this morning reminds us that we can't avoid letting others down, and that suffering from criticism and rejection doesn't necessarily mean we've taken a wrong turn. We're looking at a book called The Unlikely Lent, and in The Unlikely Lent, the author of the book goes on to talk about shame that many carry because they feel like maybe they didn't live up to a certain criteria or expectation, both spoken or unspoken, can be of many different things. She said, at its core, shame is a universal human experience, shaping our interactions, our fears, and even our silence. Shame is like a weighted blanket. When it wraps itself around you, you can still move, but you always feel the pressure crushing down on you. It can make us lash out and act in less than routine ways. Shame is the thing behind the thing. Shame often leads to blame because we need a scapegoat. And so in this scripture this morning, we see Jesus Barabbas and Jesus the Messiah coming before Pilate in the crowd, and I think they're looking for a scapegoat. Pilate realized that it was out of jealousy and envy that they had arrested Jesus and handed him over. And Pilate did not seem to know exactly what to do. Matthew sets up the scenario known as the Paschal pardon or pardon at the Passover. And these kinds of pardons are a Roman practice, and the people had a choice to make. They had a question to answer. A choice between two visions of salvation. One founded on peace and unity and love and healing, or one who was labeled a murderer of violence. Jesus, who is called the Messiah, or Jesus Barabbas? The choice presented was between the embodiment of love and truth and compassion, or one that it was a question of good and evil, light and darkness. These were challenging questions for the people to answer, challenging questions for us to reflect upon. Why did the crowd choose Barabbas over Jesus? What does their decision say about human nature and society and influence of external pressures? What does their fear and confusion and manipulation, how does that play in the decision-making process? People knew why Barabbas was arrested, why he was in prison, why he was convicted of murder. But the way of Jesus, well, it was new. It was different. And rather than acknowledging the complexity of the question before them, the people demanded to blame Jesus as someone to bear the responsibility for the fear of the unknown and the helplessness they experienced in that moment. You see, pointing fingers at the one who seemed like the easiest target. The crowd's chilling response, "Let him be crucified," not only reflects the depths of human sin and rejection of divine love, but also fulfills that prophecy from Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. It says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus was fulfilling this prophecy from Isaiah 53, 3 through 6. But I have another question. Can you imagine what Barabbas was thinking as all of this was happening before him? One who knew he had done wrong, one who was convicted of murder, one who was willing to fight even to the point of death, one who embodied that the mindset that the way to freedom was through revolution fueled by anger. And now he's there before Jesus and the crowd, and he's witnessing that freedom actually happening through the sacrifice of another in a nonviolent peace movement. He's standing there in the presence of Jesus. Can you imagine if he felt shame that rather than dying for what he deserved, he was left to wrestle with the reality that someone else was taking his place? In the book, Rachel Billups says, by standing in the place of Barabbas, Jesus bears witness to the futility of violence, revealing that power built on force and bloodshed ultimately leads to emptiness. Becoming the scapegoat, Jesus makes space for the crowd to be their very human selves, full of anger, full of fear and uncertainty, just as we are. And Jesus' sacrifice offers a different way forward in grace, not holding our past against us. Jesus offers a different way forward in grace, not holding our past against us. Theologian Paul Tillich talked a lot about being, just being, in his work. In his sermon called You Are Accepted, Paul Tillich says, grace strikes us when grace strikes us when our disgust for our own being, our indifference, our weakness, our hostility, and our lack of direction and composure have become intolerable to us. It strikes us when year after year the longed-for perfection of life does not appear, when the old compulsions reign within us as they have for decades, and when despair destroys all joy and courage. Grace comes in moments when we least expect it, when we hit rock bottom. Sometimes at that moment, a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is as though a voice is saying to us, you are accepted. You are accepted. You are accepted by that which is greater than you, and the name of which you do not know. Do not ask for the name. Perhaps you will find it later. Do not try to do anything. Perhaps you will do much later. Do not seek for anything. Do not perform anything. Do not intend to do anything. Simply accept the grace that is given to you today. And if that happens, you experience grace upon grace upon grace. Jesus invites us to accept this grace. An invitation to release the shame, the hurt, to understand the kind of justice that is not about retribution, but about transformation. Jesus came to lift our burden, to free us from the weight that we carry, the shame that we carry, and to heal us from the inside out. For you see, when we can break loose of our need to feel as though we must please everyone in order to know love, we can truly live and truly love. Not pretending to love so that we might receive love, but to love out of the abundance of the love that is poured upon us by Jesus. Freely loving without expecting anything in return. Through baptism, that writer just experienced this morning, he's claimed, as we are, as God's beloved sons and daughters. May we trust, may we live into that freedom, that unlikely freedom that we experience in Christ. Each one of us. And may these scriptures today, may this story of Jesus dying the death that Barabbas deserved, that each of us deserves, may this scripture inspire us to live with courage and integrity and unwavering faith, even in the darkest, most challenging moments of our life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together. We give you thanks for your love that is poured upon us this morning. Grace upon grace upon grace. God, may we follow in your footsteps of love and compassion and peace and unity. May we choose the better route in all that we say and all that we do. God, be with us in challenging moments. Show us another way. Show us the better way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.